5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on. The all-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by hellboundbooks.com.
Well, good evening, and it is the New Panic Room episode 98, only two more to go, and it's our 100th show, which is a little bit exciting. It's what passes for excitement in my sad little life, to be honest. And it is probably Thursday, 9:30 Central Time, unless I've already said that, but I've said it again, so there you go. It's been a week. The kids are on holiday, and it's all sort of like one big Saturday for me right now. So I don't know what day it is half the time, which is it's not typical. But for, I know someone for who that is typical, and she was moaning earlier that I don't have a jingle. So I'm gonna play XD's jingle before we bring her on, just to make her happy. Well, here she is. It's got to be XD there.
Oh, that
Hello.
Never gets old for you, does it?
It does not. It does not. No, I'm tapping my feet and, you know.
I have to admit, while there's a part of me that kind of cringes and like face palms, I also smile really big when I hear it. So I guess it's, you know. It's okay.
It is. It's a great tune.
Yeah.
I like it.
I like it.
Yeah.
And I agree with you.
Oh, hang on. We have a jingle for that as well. Listen. Here we go.
I like it a lot.
There you go. So what were you? I have too much time on my hands. Quite clearly. What were you going to say there?
Oh, no, just that I agree with you about the whole kids being out of school thing, and it just feels like the weekend all week long. Mm. And, you know, I already slept in until 11, so now I sleep in until, like, noon, and I get even less accomplished because I still want to call it a day by, like, you know, 4 or 5. So there's, like, no, you know, it's a rough life. It is.
Well, I must admit, I guess it's all relative. I mean, you know, I'm now managing to sleep till about 7, which is like an hour and a half lie in for me.
Wow. Yeah.
But I'm staying up a little bit later, and the kids. I mean, God, because they sleep through till midday 1, because again they stay up. I actually said to them, my little one wanted to see. She said, I want to see that film where. You know, you watch a movie and then the phone rings and then you die in 7 days, right? So
that was a good movie. Yeah.
We sat and watched The Ring last night. She enjoyed it.
I can't believe and then, watches the scary movies like that.
The sad thing is that I pootled off to bed and she then stayed up till whatever 2-3 o'clock.
Wow.
I'm again bad parent of the year. You know, I've no idea what she was up to, but. You know, but I mean, she loves that. In fact, a lot. If you enjoy this, we're gonna have to watch The Omen because the original, not the remake. So that'll be our next movie night, The Omen. So
I don't think I minded the remake. That was with, I think Julia Stiles was in it, and I always thought she was hot, so I thought it was okay.
I know, but it's like when they remake a lot of these films, they just seem to, like The Evil Dead, like Poltergeist was just a, I don't know what that was meant to be, but they just seem to rip the soul out of it. I mean, The Omen, I remember seeing The Omen when I was, because I didn't want to watch it, because it's got Gregory Peck in it, and Gregory Peck was like, classic movie actor stuff. And I remember my mum and dad saying, you really got to see this film, it's Gregory Peck. But, and I sat up late one night, Saturday night, and watched it, and I was probably about 12, 13. Wow, blew my socks off. What a brilliant, brilliant film. Absolutely fantastic. Great film.
I would like a really good remake of Rosemary's Baby. I would. I really would. And they did a remake.
Yeah.
What was it? A couple years ago or last year or something?
They made a TV series out of it, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know. I didn't like it. I don't like the. No, I didn't like it.
Well, it's like they did with the Exorcist. I mean, obviously, it was like it wasn't a remake, but they made the TV. And the first season was good because they carried the thread of Reagan, who he turned out. And then the second season, what was that about? They had that sort of Chinese-looking bloke from Star Trek on it, I think. And he was also in Jurassic World. And I thought, what? And I thought if I had to sit through another episode of somebody chained to a bed or a post being exercised, I'm just going to vomit. I managed about four episodes, and I thought, no, I just gave up. I thought, no, just stop it. Stop doing that now. I can't remember seeing a remake that was anything like as good as the original, even some of the old stuff, you know. And I think it's a common thread we have on this show, you know, but they do. I mean, like The Evil Dead, I mean, the new Evil Dead was brilliant because Sam Raimi directed whatever, and it wasn't. It was like they just took all the humor out of it.
And it was so
the original
boring.
Evil
I mean,
Dead.
I...
Yeah, but the original Evil Dead was, it was gore, and you could tell it was plasticine and what, but it was, they just had that thick vein of dark humor through it. The remake, no, it was just, it's like, you know, this is like phoned it in, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I wasn't a fan. I really wasn't. You know,
having said that, no, the Rob Zombie Halloween remakes were good.
They were, and I don't care what our, you know, former guest Jeff Strand has to say about the subject. I don't. I
no,
I love
I don't.
The Halloween
no.
remake.
No.
I do.
He's not on now, so.
Exactly. Yeah, I can say anything I want. No. He knows I love him. He knows I love him. But no,
we love you,
like,
Strandy.
But those movies were so, I don't know, demented that I remember watching them and thinking, oh my gosh, I'm not going to walk away the same, you know, as I did when I started watching this, because they were just so messed up. And I think that's what a good movie is supposed to do, is do something.
Well, if you want to watch a horror movie, you want to be messed up. I mean, I mean, obviously the original Halloween was groundbreaking, but, you know, it sort of defined the genre with a billion films that came after it. But I think he added another dimension. He went into the backstory and Michael, and he sort of brought him to life a bit more. And for that, he was more menacing and more disturbing as a character.
Oh, I know. The scene where in the mental, the whatever, the crazy place, you know, and there's that, who is that guard guy? I can't think of his, Danny Trejo. And, you know, he's, but I was good to you, Mikey. Oh, my God, that killed me. I wanted to cry. I did.
Yeah,
but it was so good. It was great. Yeah.
No, I mean, Danny Trejo is great. I love him. He always puts in a good turn, always.
Yeah,
always puts in. I rewatched From Dusk Till Dawn not too long ago, and of course Danny was in that. And there's something else I was watching. He just pops. He's in everything. He's just like Chris Pratt. He's just in everything. Oh, it's like Chris Pratt, Jennifer Lawrence in it, and just, you know, you can't have a film without them in it. Danny Trejo. A secondary character. It's just, oh, really? Just them again?
I want to watch a movie when you cast, if you cast these people, you know, I want to watch your movie because you'll have everybody in it. It'll be amazing.
All the greats. All the greats to be in my film. All of them. Danahay, Janie Seymour, obviously. Rebel Wilson.
The trailer for the new Halloween movie that comes out on Halloween,
yes.
I think, right? You saw that.
Of course.
That looks good. That looks really good.
It does look good. Jamie Lee Curtis as well. I mean, she's always value for money. She's good. So, and again, it sort of brings it full circle, which is kind of neat. So,
definitely one I'll be watching.
Because she was in Friday the 13th. Was it part two?
What?
As well.
Was she really?
I'm sure she was. I could have just totally made that up. Wasn't she the girl in the boat at the end?
I'm sure
she was. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll get our first guest on, and I'll look it up while he's nattering on. I think we'll do that. So anyway, I'm assuming we have a show. What have we got going on this evening, my dear?
We do have a show, and I'm excited. We have two extreme horror authors on. We have Sean Hupp, and later on in the show, we'll have Tim Miller on. And we've had Tim on before, but I'm anxious.
We have
to
had
talk to
Tim,
Sean.
Yes.
I'm anxious.
He should know better than to come on again.
I know.
Some people.
But Becky, she can't wait to talk to both of them. She's like a big fan, and so we definitely have to get her to call in and say hi to both of our guests.
Yes, we must. Yeah. We need to do a whole show of Becky, just being fine.
Fine.
I'm fine. So, okay. I think we will. We'll bring. We can't bring him on because he's not actually called in yet. So, if you're there, Sean, you know, make an effort, mate. Make a bit of an effort. Call in.
Normally, you check with me before you have me introduce the guest.
Unless he wants to shout. I don't know where he is, but it might be a bit of a shout. But speaking of monsters, I mean, I for everything I've said about the president, he's managed to pull off one of, you know, a history making coup this week. He met with Kim Jong Il, and wow, that is the first time a sitting president has met with a ruler of North Korea, which is just phenomenal. And he didn't blow it. He almost did. He made a crack or two about weight and being fat, and although he's nowhere in the room to talk, but he managed to not fuck it up. You know, Kim didn't suddenly get on the phone and suddenly just drop the bombs. Just hit the button. Because he's called me fatty toad boy one time too many. Just blast him out of the sky. Just kill him. But no, I mean, credit to Trump. You know, he's done that. He's met with a guy, and he's opened the door to what hopefully should be the beginning of peace there. So yeah, well done, Donald. I still think he's a twat, but you know, well done.
You know, I never have anything to contribute when you're talking, you know, like this, because this is when I get my political fix for the week is, you know, when I listen to you talk about it. And I'm okay with that because, you know, the world right now has gotten kind of scary. So I'll stay in my bubble and I'll bury my head in the sand and listen to your, you know, commentary every week. I'm good with that. I'm good.
I like to feel, other than the dogs barking in the background, I like to feel that the show is educational in many ways. If only for you, really, you know. But we now have Sean on hold, so we will. Do you want to introduce him?
Sure.
Or not? You're not bothered. Go on. Why not?
Extreme horror author Sean Hupp.
Are you there, sir?
I think that was way more than I deserved.
No, to be fair, everyone gets that, except XD. She's got her own, obviously, her own fabulous intro. So.
Thanks for that.
I feel a little better.
Sean, thank you for joining us, the author. I do follow you avidly on Facebook, not in a stalky sort of way, but you are always entertaining, I have to say. I like your posts, so well done for that. It's lovely to finally meet you.
I feel the same. Yeah. I think it was like months ago when Becky said, you have to get Sean up on the show. And I don't even think I really knew who he was. But, you know, after friending him and stalking him a little bit, I was definitely excited to have him on the show.
Yeah, well, I must admit, yes, you do. Yeah, I sort of followed some, you know, picked up on some of your bits and pieces. I need to know why we're not publishing you, to be quite honest with you. So that's the conversation we need to have.
I like that.
So I've embarrassed him.
Yeah, I know. I think maybe. I was going to say that he was here to talk about his book, The Suicide of Jeremy Price, and that releases July 13th. That's like a month away, right? Well, no, we're on the 14th, so close, very close. But
Near enough. So it's an intriguing title, I have to say. So this is an extreme horror novel, yeah?
No, not really. Sometimes I write stuff that kind of dark, but it's not really. I don't know. It's horror, but it's not extreme horror.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say there's a lot of. I would say it's more psychological horror.
Mhm.
But yeah, there's not going to be like much in the way of like gore or anything.
Mm.
But
now,
yeah, sometimes I have to branch out.
I was mentioning to you earlier when I was seeing the document that you sent over. It had like a quote from What Dreams May Come, and I remember thinking, oh, I loved that movie. I seriously loved that movie, and it was, you know, dark because people are dying and people are killing themselves, and, you know, then they're going through hell to find. It was great. I loved that movie. I mean, I really did. It was, and as dark as it was, it was so romantic. So basically, if my loved one dies, I am following him to hell. Hopefully he doesn't go to hell. But if he does, you know, just putting that out there, I will follow his ass to hell. I will. Not in a creepy way, I promise.
I'm worried now.
You're right. So tell us
a little
bit
all
more
a little
about
worried.
The, yeah, well, you know, they say that all the time, but I'm harmless, really, I promise. So tell us a little bit more about your book, Sean.
Well, basically, I've seen a lot of posts, and a lot of people are talking about, like, suicide and stuff lately, but I saw a few posts that were saying that, you know, you really shouldn't, like, write about it, and you could be triggering to people and stuff like that, and I really didn't like, I don't like people telling me that what I can and can't write about.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I even posted something on Facebook, like, saying something about that, and it was really funny, because I think Wrath actually responded, and he's like, tell them Wrath that shut the fuck up.
Nice.
I think you should be able to write what we want, and it's going to be a serious book. I'm not going to, like I said, I do have a little trigger warning thing at the beginning where I said I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. It's going to be a serious book because it's a serious topic, especially lately how things have been going with, you know, Anthony Bourdain and
yeah.
Kate Spade.
Well,
so,
I mean,
yeah,
it's reflecting life. I mean, it does happen, and I totally agree with you. I agree with Raph. You know, I mean, we shouldn't be told. We shouldn't be dictated. You know, I think, you know, we're probably one of the last bastions of professions out there that can do, you know, like create what we want without fear of upsetting people. I mean, at the end of the day, it's like with the TV. You know, people, that offended me. I'll switch it off. You know, if you're that sensitive, don't read the book. You know, I mean,
yeah,
and I think that suicide is a topic that probably has affected just about everybody in some, you know, way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're able to write about, you know, cancers or anything like that, even, you know, rape or something, people, well, why shouldn't we, you know, be allowed to write, you know, about something that affects so many people? And, you know, who knows, maybe somebody would pick it up and read it and maybe change their mind, you know, who knows? So,
yeah, and you're not gonna please everybody, anyway, with a normal horror book. Yeah, you're gonna get bad reviews on Amazon for any weird random thing that someone picks up. So, you're probably gonna get bad reviews anyway for supposed to have serious topics like that, so it doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
But
so
I think
I'm...
what's going to...
Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, I was going to say, I think what's going to be good about this book that I'm putting out is going to be more of, like, Jeremy has died, and he's going to see the effect that his suicide has taken on his family and his friends. So he's sort of like kind of between worlds kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of goes along with that whole Richard Matheson thing.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, do you have a reading for us?
I do.
Yay. This is my favorite part of the show. I read the reading too.
You've actually read it already. I like
I
to
have,
sort of hold
yeah.
off and just listen instead of spoiling it for myself. So.
I was like, well, I trimmed out a few paragraphs to make sure it wasn't too long. Okay.
We are ready when you are.
Sure. Okay. The end. Ever get lost in yourself? You ever feel just so damn shitty that nothing seems to help? Some call it depression. I never needed a name to call it. Maybe I just didn't want to say the word. It's kind of like a game of Bloody Mary. Maybe if I said depression 3 times in the mirror, that would make it real. Instead, I preferred to live in my own little world where such a thing didn't exist. No, maybe the Bloody Mary analogy is wrong. Depression is like living in a zombie apocalypse. The undead horde is right outside your walls, trying to break through any opening, wanting to devour you and everything and everyone around you that you hold dear. And you're sitting there, pretending everything is okay, asking, would anyone like mac and cheese for dinner? Don't get me wrong. I wasn't alone, though it felt like it. Some people tried to help me when they saw me upset. I mean, they offered their hands, but when you're that deep down inside your own head, it's like being trapped at the bottom of a well. The water keeps rising, and you've got a boulder tied to your ankle. I did my best to keep my head above water. Yes, I saw those hands, but a hand at arm's length isn't going to help. That well is damn near bottomless. My friends and family need to throw down a damn rope. That would have reached me. The sad thing is that I probably wouldn't have been able to take hold of it. I guess I made a bunch of analogies of what depression is like. Sadly, there's probably nothing that compares to it. It's like a cancer that eats. There I go again. Another fucking analogy. Depression is depression, period. It's impossible to describe and even harder to survive. That's probably why I killed myself. Shit. I feel like I should apologize for it. How fucked up is that? I mean, when you put it in layman's terms, Jeremy Price was so down in the dumps, he killed himself. Selfish prick. Left behind his wife and kids. Who does that? I do that. I mean, I did that. Sorry. There I go again. Apologizing. It's not hard to do. I know what I did hurt a lot of people, but I swear at the time I knew they'd get over it eventually. If I'm being honest, I still feel that way. Being dead didn't change my train of thought. I didn't have an epiphany. Dead is dead. My shitty life is still my shitty life. Except now I'm not living it. Kind of. I mean, I'm here, somehow. I don't really understand it. I attended my funeral today, walked right in the back. Of course, no one noticed me. I honestly didn't expect so many people. It didn't make me feel any better, though. Shit, there's my dad in the front row. I do feel bad about that. Like they say, no parent should have to bury their child. Well, he's here to do just that. Nothing else I can say except I wish it didn't have to be that way. He's a strong man, always was. I can't stand to see him cry. I'm sure he's trying to hold it back. Maybe if I confided in him, I could have shared his strength. Again with the maybes. Maybe this and maybe that. I sound like a broken record rather than the broken man I am or was. Then there's the wife looking all sad next to him. She'll get over it. Hell, she's the very reason for all this. At least I think. Maybe she should be apologizing, not me. Tell my dad everything. Don't let him feel sorry for you. Don't you dare let him put your arms around you and tell you that he's there for you. He shouldn't be. You weren't there for me. I needed you, and you were gone. I would have done anything to have you back. I loved you. I love you. I still do. I don't even know how to talk about myself in present or past tense. I guess past tense. I feel like I was dead long before my heart stopped beating. Damn, the kids. I'm just glad they're young enough that in a few years they won't remember me. Just like my dad, they don't deserve this. Those boys should be outside, in the sunshine, living and loving life. There's nothing in death. There's nothing but death in here. Why am I here? Reliving the end of my life. No, that's not right. My life has ended. Is this what life after death is? I can't do this anymore. Killing myself was supposed to be an end of my misery, not continuing it. Why am I here? Where is that bright light or that dark pit? Right now, I'd welcome either. I keep looking at the ceiling and looking at the floor. I swear I'm not trying to avoid looking at my dad, at my kids, at her. Damn it, I want to hold her so bad. Now I'm waiting for some hole to open up and swallow me, to take me away from here. For so long while I was alive, I was trying to climb out of one, and now in death, I need one to save me. That's all I got.
Oh, wow. Now, I'm just wondering, for, you know, you writing this, was that difficult? I mean, did you, because it definitely, I don't know, it would be.
Yeah, it's kind of a strain. I'm actually writing a more normal kind of extreme horror book at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I want to put this one out first, so that's the one I'm kind of like promoting. But yeah, I'm kind of, when this one gets a little too much for me, then I jump back into writing the like bloody, gruesome stuff.
Yeah.
Like that's a lot easier to write, as weird as that sounds.
Yeah. Well, no, I definitely get it, because, you know, blood and guts and gore and stuff is definitely, I would think, easier than, you know, sorrow and you know, definitely.
Yeah, it's just kind of weird when you say it out loud. You're like, yeah, I can totally write a scene where I just chop up a body in several pieces and dissolve it in acid, but, yeah, I can't talk about that funeral scene. Makes me tear up.
I mean,
wow.
It's a different kind of horror, obviously, you know, you sort of, you're in the mind, I mean, it did it incredibly well, you know, in the mind of a depressive who obviously took the ultimate way, or what he thought was the ultimate way out, you know, but, you know, chopping up bodies and wholesale slaughter and that, it becomes cartoonish. I mean, I've written extreme horror, I've written bizarro, and it is, it's almost cartoonish, you know, and it's when you start getting into the minds of ill people, sick people, demented people. That, I think that's when, you know, it can have an effect. I've found that it has an effect. And I think you're quite right. You know, you have to have something to fall back on. Just almost like a palate cleanser, I guess, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. I have written some serious stuff in the past before. They've just been shorter stories, so this is something that's going to be longer. Usually it is, mm-hmm. kind of revolved around like someone's like death in your family, whether it was a wife or a child, something like that.
Mm. Yeah, and you're a family man, aren't you? I mean, oh God, I
yeah.
said that and then I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure, right? That's what I've seen on your Facebook. So, you know, to have the family members' responses and stuff, and, you know, you're writing from this, you know, first person perspective, you know, I'm sure that must be, you know, hard thinking of how your loved ones would handle something like that, and
I would be lying if I didn't say, like, I was trying to put myself in Jeremy's shoes, and that's kind of what makes it really hard to write.
Yeah.
When you're thinking about, like, what would my family think if something like that happened? Like, what would my dad think? What would my kids think? What would... Yeah. One of the characters is just like an acquaintance from a long ago, and one of the characters is like someone that he used to kind of talk to, but they kind of grew apart.
Mm-hmm. Now, unless it's going to be too spoilery, you know, his wife, you know, what a bitch. Now, what did she do? She left him? Is that what happened? Or
it's kind of like a mystery too. The book is. It's kind of moving more like he's gonna. More of the picture will be revealed as the book goes along, whether it's from his perspective learning things or from her perspective just revealing things to the reader. Or there is another character that's like a little friend acquaintance that's trying to figure things out, and he might learn some things. But all the answers will be revealed at the end, and. try to make it be kind of upbeat towards the end. I don't want to be a total downer because I have a feeling the book's going to be
right.
might be a bit depressing for some people.
Yeah, I'm totally on his side. I am, and you know, because as you know, as a woman, I know that we're horrible, we're evil creatures. So I'm hoping that you know she gets whatever's coming, you know, to her if she you know did drive him to do this horrible thing. So.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, you can tell, he doesn't even quite know himself. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that a lot of that with depressed people that might. Possibly commit suicide is they might not be in the right frame of mind at that moment, and they might be unsure about exactly what's going on themselves. So he's
yeah.
going to be learning things as it goes along too.
Yeah, I think. I mean, I'm going to have to read this. You know, read all of it because yeah, I mean, you've just from that bit, you know, you seem to, you know, get into the depressive's head. Almost too well, if you don't mind me saying,
yes,
it is real, you know. And like you said, I mean, you know, the subject matter, you know, don't be afraid of it being gloomy because I guess that's what it is, you know. And
yeah, I think I've talked to some other authors in private, and like, what are you writing about? I'm like, somebody's suicide, and like, oh, I'm sorry. everyone knows, like, that's not going to be an easy thing to write about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No.
I also wanted to point out that the title actually isn't The Suicide of Jeremy Price, but that's kind of like the subtitle. The title is actually Felo de Se, which is like Latin for a felony of himself, which is basically suicide. It's a person who commits suicide or an unlawful,
mm-hmm.
malicious act resulting in his or her death. It's an act of self-destruction. And that's
basically what
happened. The Jeremy is an act of self-destruction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you're not writing, what do you like to read? Do you like to read things that are just as dark as you write, or do you find, you know, you wanting to have something a little lighter?
I tend to stick with the horror, mm-hmm. whatever I can find. I've got too many books on my to-read pile. But, yeah, I go with the extreme horror, the regular horror, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Some just weird things. I do read, like, some less... But there's always usually a horror-type element in it, even if it's not classified as horror.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah...
I've seen that you're a big fan of Jeff Strands as well, and even though he's classified as... you know, horror, you know, a lot of his books really aren't that horrific. You know, they, you know, a lot of them do have a darkness in them, but as far as horror, I don't think I would, you know, classify many of his books as horror. Now, maybe the last one, and I've only read about half of that, but Bring Her Back is definitely, you know, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah,
most,
I want to read that one, too, because people are saying that as good as Pressure was.
Well, I didn't read Pressure, but I've read about half of Bring Her Back, and oh my goodness, there's definitely a scene that freaked me out, and, you know, I just was like, and it was funny because the way he wrote it, you didn't even, it's like he wasn't even concentrating on what I was thinking was the most horrific thing, you know, my eyes where it kept going to this one scene, and I was like, is anybody else seeing this? Is anybody else as disturbed as I am right here? So it's really cool the way he did that. So if anybody can't tell, I'm a huge Jeff Strand fan. And anyway,
we all know.
I know. I think I talk
know.
About
I've
him every
to a
show.
I've listened to a few episodes.
So.
I know. So
yeah, I don't do it on purpose.
He's really great with horror, and he's really great with the humor stuff.
Yes, that's what I love is the humor.
I've
definitely,
tried to do the humor stuff. I'm like, I don't know if I can do it.
Oh, no, I read Blister first. Becky is the one who said, you have to read Blister. I read that, and I laughed out loud, like, so many times. And that's what I think, does it for me is the humor. But speaking of Becky, we have somebody that would like to talk to you.
Who could it be?
Yeah, I
who
know, right?
Who could it be? I wonder. You spoiled it a bit.
You're like, it's Jeff Strand.
No.
It's me.
Are you
hi,
fine?
Hi,
I'm fine. You sound so thrilled.
He supposes. Yeah, whenever I would message him about the show, he'd be like, I suppose. Like, can't you be a little more excited about that?
I have not said that's what she said for the whole show. I will say that. I thought I'd be saying that a lot. That one time.
Not yet.
Yeah. Was there a moment? Was there a time when that was? I don't remember you even saying that or why. But
that's,
you know,
really not a good time when we're talking about suicide to be like, "That's what she said."
That's what she said. So yeah, it would not be a show unless you said that at least once. So you know, and I'm curious
right.
to know why Becky wants you to sing so bad. Do you, you know, are you a good singer or you know?
No.
No. Well, did you hear the song where me and Becky were singing to James? I mean, you cannot be worse than that. I don't think anybody can be worse.
Oh my God.
Oh my
God.
To be fair, yes, that was awful.
Yes,
it was.
But Sean sang to me on a lip sync battle between the authors, between the British authors, and I still have it. I saved it.
Yeah, I know. Like it gets shared like every year around the same time, and I'm like, oh, it's that time of year again. Off the lip sync, the hell.
So I see how
it's
is.
Just
you
like
know,
it's
me and James have talked about doing a karaoke show. So when we do a karaoke show, we are inviting Sean Hub. You know, you better get
Definitely.
Your karaoke
yes.
boots ready. Yeah.
That'll be a crowd pleaser.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm going to have to have a lot to make that night. I suppose, yeah. That's what she said.
Yeah. What was it that you sang to me, Sean? What was the name of the song?
What song?
What
Did
was
I
the song
you?
That you sang to me? Uh-huh.
What, is it Maggie May by Rod Stewart?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
It was.
Anyway,
yeah.
We are just about out of time for our first segment. I'm glad Becky got to call in to say hi to Sean because she was definitely...
Me too.
You know, she was, I know. She was... Yeah, she wanted to say hi. So tell us where
yeah.
we can find
yeah,
you online,
weird.
Sean.
Well, I'm on Facebook. You come friend me. I'm like, I promise I'll fill your page full of memes and all kinds of stuff. I'm also on Patreon. With patreon.com/SeanHopper, you can search for my name. I mean, all my books are on Amazon. You can just search for Hop. I'm not changing my name like IHOP. I'm not going with Sean Hub. It's Hub. It's H-U-P-P. I thought about changing my name, but I was like, no. And I was like, that's pretty much it. Facebook, Amazon, Patreon. Unless you're going to, like, come to my house and... You want me to, like, write books for you there?
Yeah, that would be great. That would be the
yeah.
ultimate service, wouldn't it? That would be great.
Awesome.
I wish we should do that.
I'm going to lock my doors tonight, so...
Yeah, I would.
Well, we have all of your links put up on our Facebook page. All except for, I think, the Patreon, that one, the link there. But you just said what it was, so... if anybody wants to stalk Sean, they can go there and you know, stalk him. And you have to promise to come back and see us.
I suppose.
I knew he was going to say
That's
that.
That's what she said.
Awesome. I thank you so much for coming on the show. It wasn't too painful, was it? You suppose?
That's what she said.
That's what she said. No.
Yeah, got it in there.
Yay, well done.
I knew I'd figure it out.
Well done.
Thank you, Sean. And thank you, Becky.
Yeah, thank you, Sean. And thank you, Becky. And we will be right back
thank
after
you.
The break.
Panic. Room Radio Show is sponsored by Hellbound Books, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher along with links to all their available works across platforms at hellboundbookspublishing.com. Hellbound Books is proud to be the first in the indie publishing business with their very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. In the mood for something steamy to read, check out new erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com, and Xtina has an author page found on the Hellbound website. Don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media. Our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website at www.panicroomradio.com.
Welcome back, Xtina. Did you crack open another bottle of wine?
I did. You know, it's funny because a lot of times you have me on mute, you know, when we come back from the break and I'm just still relaxing and stuff. And then you say something to me and I'm like, oh, is that me already again? Okay, I'm ready.
I'm just keeping you on your toes.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the mood. Do you know, I love that. It's probably one of my favorite songs, that. And I didn't go for my wee, to be honest with you.
I'm jamming along to that,
you know, because it is one of my
favorites.
I didn't
even know that song, and I didn't know the first one either, so I'm definitely going to start telling you songs I want to hear, because... Yeah, seriously.
Well, every time you pick one, we can't get it. So yeah.
Really? Is that
well,
why?
We can only use those that are registered with ASCAP.
Right.
Otherwise,
right.
We'll get our asses sued. So we have to cross check with them because we pay an extraordinary amount of money for the license to avoid lawsuits and copyright theft accusations, etc. So just keep trying. I mean, well, you've hit lucky a couple of times, but
yeah, definitely. You know. I have been so happy. You play that one song. It's one of my absolute favorite songs. You really got a hold on me, and I'm telling you, I was grinning mm-hmm. from ear to ear. I was
like,
yes.
There you go.
I know. It doesn't take a lot. It does not take a lot to make me happy.
You are very easily pleased. I've found that. That's tremendous. That is tremendous. If only all women were like that. It's funny. I can see it in my daughter now. I mean, she's only 9. And rather cynically, my son can, as her brother can see it, that she is going to be... I already pity her husbands. And there will be a few. Because nobody's going to stick with her. She is so high maintenance. It is unreal.
I would definitely like to get a message sent out to, like, you know, my future husband that, you know, I am easy to please and, you know, happy about just about anything. So, you know, if anybody's listening...
Well, hey, I mean, sure, but there are people listening. You've broadcast it. Then maybe that nice Nick Pacione will find you.
No,
and I'm sure
no.
if he wanted to track you down at your trailer, I'm sure he would. Which would be
yeah,
jolly.
Thanks for that.
And probably wear your skin. He would probably wear your skin as well because I think that's the kind of guy he is.
Oh, now I'm peeking out the windows to make sure there's nobody in the bushes. Thank you. He's been too quiet lately, so I'm wondering, is he in the bushes?
You know, I think we have frightened him off with the best weapon, which was ridicule. Everybody else has tried to take him on, and they've tried to threaten him and warn him. We just took the piss. We were merciless, took the piss out of him, and he's wandered away. Crawled back under his little stone because he just can't deal with that. We didn't get angry, we didn't retaliate, we didn't threaten, we just made fun of him and he's gone.
It was pretty much fun. It really was. It was, mm-hmm. you know.
We just took him as a figure of fun and that he didn't want that. He wants to be taken seriously and whatnot, but we was just a bit of a joke, really, which was great. So there you have it. So, there is something that happens next, and I'm damn if I remember. All I can focus on is I really need a wee-wee, so hopefully we're going to bring Becky on, and while she's reviewing, I'm going to go have a wee, so that's going to happen. So here we go.
Looks like it's time to review something. Oh, no.
Oh, my Lord. You know, Becky, it seems like only... 4.5 minutes ago we were talking, so how are you? why are you standing in a bloody wind tunnel? What is going on in your life right now?
I didn't know I was.
You sound like you're in a wind tunnel. Or you stood under, you know, those big windmill things, the wind harnessing windmill thing. You stood right under one of those, possibly.
No.
She's trying to do the Marilyn Monroe thing. That's what she's doing. She's, you know, doing it. Right? I mean.
Thanks for that.
Yeah.
Well, don't. Well, stop it.
No.
Right. Okay. Look, Becky.
Okay, I'm gonna
hand you over. I'm gonna go for my wee now. So I'm gonna just bugger off, and you can review whatever it is you're gonna review. Okay. Just
okay.
Three or four minutes. Give me long enough to just have a good old wee wee, and then I'll be back. All right.
Go for it, Becky.
Okay. The book that I'm reviewing tonight is called Side Effects, and it's by Jeff Menapace, and it's put out by Mind Mess Press. And it is a crime thriller, and it's really good. It's about an FBI agent who has a special gift for catching serial killers. And her husband and son were murdered, and she's very depressed. And her doctor puts her on this experimental drug, and it has some very interesting side effects. Yeah, the drug does help her cope, but it heightens her senses, and with her old partner, she helps track down a killer who is really, really, really giving them the slip and hard to catch. And it's really, really good. I highly recommend this.
I'm a fan of Jeff's Men at Pace, not Strand, because we've already been over that like a million times. But, yeah,
right.
He's been on the show. He was on the show one of our very first ones, I believe. But, yeah, he was a great guest, and I was definitely a fan of his writing. So that's awesome. We have to get him back, definitely. Maybe you can put in a good word for us. Tell him that we're much better than we were back then.
I can definitely do that. His book, Bad Games, was the second indie book I ever read.
Wow.
And after I read it, I saw in the back of the book that it said, you know, he's on Facebook. And I thought, yeah, okay. So I looked, and he really was. And I was like, well, holy crap. So I sent him a friend request and sent him a message. And we ended up talking about his book, and he kind of picked my brain. And, of course, that was a short pick, but, you know. he wanted to know what I thought about it and what I liked about it and what I didn't. And, you know, I just really enjoyed talking to him. So he and Ian Robright are the two that really started me on the indie path. And because, you know, I had always just read Stephen King and Koontz and Barker and all them, you know, I didn't know anything about the indie world, and so, but they introduced me to it, and I couldn't be happier. So I blame him for a lot for me being here. So, but I'm sure he wouldn't care too much.
No, I don't think so either.
No.
So how many stars would you give this book?
Oh, absolutely. What was it James said this past week? A 10.999.
Nice.
That's the one,
yeah.
Awesome. 10.999. Yeah. And I'm back, if anybody cares. I had a wee, so...
Hi.
I was missing you already. I was. Yeah,
I was missing you too. Yeah. In fact, I need to get a sort of a wireless headphones and microphone set so I can actually take the show to the toilet.
No.
So the listeners can join me.
No.
Can join me during my moments.
No.
No. Stop
things,
that.
You know, there are things that we need to know about you, and then there are things that it's best that you just keep to yourself. And that might be one. But, you know, potty, that might be
one. I think
that is
definitely one, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we have our next guest all kind of lined up and excited. And I know Becky wants to say hi. So, should we?
Yeah.
We should.
Yes.
We should. We should. It should be Tim Miller. How are you, sir?
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello, I can.
Yeah.
How are you doing, sir?
Hey, guys. I'm good. How are you all?
We're good.
Becky
wanted to say hello. Go on, Becky. Make an effort.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
Hello. I'm all right. How are you doing?
I'm good. I just wanted to say hi.
Oh, hello.
He writes some of my favorite books, so.
Yeah, we had Tim on our show a long time ago. I'm wondering why it took so long to have you back. It was, I believe you were promoting Rape Van when we had you on. And, you know, that was before I was really, you know, I really knew too much about the extreme horror, and I remember I was just a teeny tiny bit intimidated, you know. I really was. I was like, I don't know if I even have anything to say right now. I was a little scared.
Well, that was almost 2 years ago.
Oh, my God. Was it that long ago? Wow.
Yeah, I wrote Rape Man sometime in 2016, so yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
But,
we were in our infancy then.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot has changed. But I definitely find, and I've mentioned this before, but it seems like the more horrific the writer is, the nicer, it's weird. I mean, they just are so nice, and you just wouldn't expect the kind of things that you guys write. I'm blown away. Like, if I met you on the street, you would. There's no way I would be like, oh, extreme horror. Yep, that's him. No, I mean, it's weird. Even with, like, James, I'm, like, so close to James, and sometimes I read. Like, I started reading Flanagan, James, I did. And, you know, within two pages, I'm going, oh, my God, I have to cover my eyes for a second, you know, and it's weird. And you were the nicest guy. Well, I don't know about the nicest guy, but you know what I mean. So I don't get it. You know, I think that...
I think because all the nastiness is out, you know. It's all written down and out of our heads. So what is left is the nice bits.
Right. I mean, it does worry me. Like, if you didn't have a pen and paper and you didn't have a way to, you know, write these stories, would you guys be serial killers? I mean...
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, people are surprised when...
Go ahead, Tim. I didn't hear what you were saying.
I say, people are always surprised when they meet me, like, in person or at conventions and stuff, because they said they're expecting, like, Rob Zombie or Marilyn Manson or somebody, and here's this big, goofy guy sitting there.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, but it does throw people off. So I suppose if you really were a serial killer, we'd have no idea. You know, it'd be one of those times where afterwards we'd be like, he was such a nice guy, I don't understand.
Well, you know, I read an article just the other day that said apparently in the United States alone, there are anywhere around 2,000 active serial killers going around. You know, Tim could be one. I could be one of them. I mean, you could be.
I could be.
I mean, you know, it's funny. I mean, you read or, you know, you watch a show about, say, Ted Bundy, for example, John Wayne Gacy, and the number of people that said that if he was the nicest bloke, he would do anything for anybody. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's just like, I mean, Jeffrey Dahmer was always a bit of an oddball, I guess. I suppose, you know, there's always those that... You know, growing up, kids who went to school, they said, yeah, I knew he would end up being a serial killer, you know. But the majority, I guess, Bundy killed, they still don't know how many he killed, you know, dozens, you know, maybe it's 100 or so. But he was the nicest guy. He said what a nice bloke. He even worked on a suicide hotline.
Yeah.
Like, and I guess that is, they hide in plain sight, you know. Maybe we should be more suspicious of nice people.
Well, I'm thinking somebody should have given these serial killers, you know, pen and paper or, you know, a computer or something and said, just write about it, you know, don't, you know, maybe that would have worked. I mean, they missed their calling. Yeah, they just missed
maybe.
Their calling.
Yeah.
So, Tim, you're here to talk about your book, Where is it? Where did I put it? I don't see. Ritual. Was it Ritual? It was Ritual.
Yes, Ritual.
come on, Christina, join in.
Sush, you have it in front of you, too. So tell us a little bit more about it, Tim.
So Ritual is kind of inspired. I've been reading up a lot of stuff. I grew up during this era in the 80s, during, like, all the satanic panic and stuff. Now the book doesn't take place in the 80s because I just didn't feel like trying to date everything correctly or whatever, so I just made it whatever. But it takes place in a Christian school, not a Catholic school, but like a Christian school, and they're really strict and they're very conservative and they're always, you know, very biblical and stuff. But there's like a now mind you, just had a Christian story. That's like the backdrop of the story here. But there's a satanic cult in town, and they're sacrificing animals and people, and some of it's happening at the school and everything. So these group of kids is trying to figure out, you know, what's going on, and, you know, who's in the cult, and are they being targeted, and so forth. So a lot of things happen from there. A lot of mayhem ensues. It's not one of my more graphic books. My more recent books haven't been quite as graphic, but there is some. I mean, there's some good stuff if you're into gore. There's some good stuff toward the end, but a lot of stuff going on. A lot of witches, human sacrifice, satanic rituals, that kind of fun stuff going on.
Yeah, like, and you said that kind of fun stuff, and that is the kind of stuff that just really freaks me out. Like, you know, you can write about a serial killer or murder or whatever, but when it comes to any kind of, you know, Satanist stuff and demons and stuff. Oh, I'm freaked the hell out. I really am, but in a good kind of way, I suppose. But it really does freak me out. I remember reading what was that book called? It was a John Saul book when I was younger. Oh, Punish the Sinners, and it was like a, you know, I think it was Catholic school and everything, but there was like some kind of evil stuff going around, you know, with the school, and that kind of reminded me of that when you were talking. So it's really cool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Do you have an excerpt for us, a reading?
Oh, let me grab my. I had my Kindle with me, and I left it in the other room. Hang on a second. Don't mind me. I have to.
No.
In my house.
I have to say the cover was really pretty creepy. It kind of reminded me of like, what was it? Like the creepy nuns from, or was it just one nun from the Conjuring movies? Is it the Conjuring movies that does that? That has that creepy nun? I think it is. Maybe. I don't know.
But, I forget. I mean, and the funny thing is there's no actual nuns in the story. I just, I like that image. So.
Yeah, it's a good one. It really is a good one. I saw that and I was immediately creeped out, so. Good job.
Oh, thanks. It's just a stock photo. I just tweaked it a little bit and stamped it on the cover. But, yeah, it was a cool one to caught my eye. I was looking for stuff. If I ever get – I was wondering what – I'm probably flagged in some NSA database somewhere.
So you're writing about you wrote about a Christian school. Do you have a background in Christian school, or did you have to research on
that? Not a Christian school, per se. I grew up in a really strict Baptist church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Me too.
Yeah, so every week, we went to church 3 times a week.
Yep.
And there was all kinds of stuff. And I wasn't allowed to watch Star Wars for years because... The Force was Satanism.
You know, I wasn't allowed
to
watch
witchcraft.
The Simpsons. I wasn't allowed. The Simpsons. It's a cartoon. I wasn't allowed to watch.
Why not? Where does it say in the Bible, "Thou shalt not watch Star Wars and The Simpsons"? Show me it.
Well,
seriously.
In my family, it was because they swore. The Simpsons swore, and I wasn't allowed to, I guess, listen to swear words.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know, I sometimes think, I mean, some of these, there's a lady I work with, she's actually from Bulgaria, and she's part of some weird church over here, and she said, you know, like on a Friday, I can't eat this, I can't eat that, and on a Monday, I can't think of that. Somebody sat around a table and just made this shit up, just for something to do. Well, I'll tell you what, on Tuesdays, right, you know, you can't wear anything purple, you know, or, you know, you've got to hop every alternate Wednesday. And it's just, seriously, what's the point? And half, I mean, most of it's not in the Bible. They just, guys just make it up.
All right, I found my excerpt here.
Yay. Otherwise, James will
awesome.
Keep going. He goes into a rant.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry, we both do it. There you go. We both, you know. We're ready when you are, Tim.
Okay, here we go. All right. This is from Ritual. It's somewhere in chapter 1. I just pulled out kind of a fun part here. All right. So I got to Pastor Warren's office and knocked on the door. He was on his laptop doing something, but stopped and looked over at her. "Sarah, come on in," he said. "Have a seat. What's going on?" "Mrs. Gilmore sent me to meet you. She said I was being of rebellious spirits." "Rebellious spirits? Ah, yes. That can be a serious offense, Sarah. What happened?" "Well, she was talking about how God gives us free will and stuff, and I had some questions, which isn't allowed, apparently." "Well, what were your questions?" Sarah told him about how the conversation went in class. He looked concerned and nodded as she spoke. "Yes, the age-old questions of free will versus God's will. You know, you're not the first person to ask these questions, Sarah." "I never said I was." "For thousands of years, man has pondered the same thing. The consensus is that we will never fully understand. Our puny minds can't wrap themselves around the awesome glory of God. He works in mysterious ways, in ways we will never fully understand. I would suggest you pray. Read some scripture tonight at home and pray for God to reveal himself to you. You'll understand then. God will show himself to you."
"You mean, like, in my room?" Sarah got what he was saying, but she wasn't sure why. For most of her life, she just followed the Lord and done what she was told, like a good Christian girl. It had been in the past year or so she'd begun having questions and doubts. She fought it off as much as she could, but couldn't help herself. No doubt her dad and Pastor Warren would insist it was Satan toying with her mind. She wondered if, as her brain matured, if these things stopped making any sense. No, not in your room. Why do you have to be so difficult? Look, it's about faith. Everything regarding the Lord can be explained. Trust me. I did seminary for years. All I came away with were more questions. But that only strengthened my faith. Strengthened it. How? Because once I just gave it all to God, I didn't worry about it anymore. You give it to the Lord, let him do all the thinking and worrying, and it takes so much less stress out of you. Maybe you'll be happier. I see you sulking around the halls here. You usually look like someone just killed your dog. Is everything okay at home? You mean Dad getting rid of her smartphone and replacing it with a flip phone, or canceling cable TV, and now he only has internet in his office at the house with no Wi-Fi? Granted, these are all first-world problems and conveniences, but she had to go to the library until late in the evening just to do homework. She couldn't even Google basic things. Her father's idea of spiritual growth for her was mental and emotional stagnation. She was his little girl, and he'd do everything in his power to keep her as little as possible forever. Perhaps this was what God was asking of everyone. Everything is fine at home, I guess, she said. Good. You know, I'm glad you're here. I wanted to ask you something. I need a few dedicated people. You're a smart kid, and I think this is right up your alley. Okay. What? He looked around and leaned forward as if someone might hear him. Would you like to kick some ass for Jesus? He muttered. She was shocked that he said ass, as if someone might hear him, it would be a major scandal. Sarah sat back and looked at him, trying not to laugh. Pastor Warren was like 40, and it just cracked her up how he tried so hard and talked like a millennial. I guess so. What's going on? Well, we're starting this afternoon program with Pastor Greg. Good old-fashioned door-to-door visitation. Visitation? Yes, we knock on people's doors and spread the gospel of Christ, leading folks to the Lord for decades. Churches have done this, but for years it has become somewhat of a lost art. The only ones are known for it now are Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. But we can't let those purveyors of false religion win. We're in a spiritual battle, Sarah. I know you see what is going on in the world. We are at war. Sarah tried not to look alarmed at everything he just said. The school itself is extremely conservative and fundamentalist. By almost any standard, The school itself was extremely conservative and fundamentalist by almost any standard. Sarah had noticed in the past year they had gone further and further to the extremes. One of their field trips included going to a protest outside of a Planned Parenthood. Yeah, but, Sarah began, Pastor Greg is super creepy. And he was. He was a much shorter and skinnier than Pastor Warren with thick glasses. He often stood way too close to the girls and stared for way too long. He's always touching me, like putting his arm around my shoulders or wanting hugs. It's just weird. He's just a friendly, loving guy, Pastor Warren said. The love of Christ is flowing through him, and he wants to pass it on to you students. I don't want anything of his flowing through me. Look, it will just be you and a few others. Jenny Folsom is already on board. You know what a wonderful child of God she is. Sarah rolled her eyes. Oh, yes, we all know. So, you see what this is about? Jenny is trying to get a few other of her friends at it, too. The plan is we get 10 or 15 of you, break you off into pairs, and divide up the city into different sections so you all can witness the whole town in a few weeks. Then we go back through and do our follow-ups. I have some tracts already ordered to hand out. This is going to be great. Isn't going door-to-door kind of dangerous these days? What if someone shoots at us or something? The Bible says in Isaiah that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. God will protect you, Sarah. Sarah was pretty sure that a weapon formed against her would indeed prosper. While she did pray and believed in prayer, she also couldn't recall any time God reached down and stopped a bullet mid-flight. I'd still want to be careful. Of course, we never put you in harm's way. Pastor Greg will be right there with you. And Jenny is a great prayer warrior. She'll pray a shield of God's protection right over you. This will be great. I'll mark you down. Can I go now? I guess so. Oh, and go easy on Mrs. Gilmore. She's trying, and from now on, if you have those kinds of questions, just come and ask me directly. You know I'll do my best to answer them. If he meant by talking in circles, quoting scripture, and as a result not answering anything, she was coming to the conclusion answers weren't something this school specialized in. I will. Thank you, Pastor Warren. All right, that's the end.
Awesome, nice. Fantastic. Beautifully read as well, Tim. Beautifully read. I was enjoying that.
Oh, thank you.
That was good.
You
had a sort of a Baptist upbringing. I mean, did you do the whole door knocking thing? Were you ever involved in that?
In the what?
In the door
going
knocking.
Did you ever do that?
We did that when I was a teenager. We had to go do that with our Wednesday night youth group. We went and did that.
We could have gone to the same church, Tim. Like, really.
Well, everything, you know, people got, I had a few reviews. People said they didn't like the way I portrayed the Christian religion in the book. All those things that he was saying, all those sort of platitudes he was throwing at her and that you hear throughout the book, that is all stuff that was literally said to me at some point growing up by a youth leader or a preacher or whatever.
Definitely.
It's not something I just pulled out of my head.
Right. No, I could definitely see that. I could feel the, I have a question for you when it comes, you know, if you were, you know, in Baptist church for how long was it? I mean, for me, it was like all my childhood, you know, and.
It was all the way through high school. And then I joined the Marines out of high school. And when I got back from the Marines, I actually went to Bible college for 2 years.
Wow.
And then I became an atheist after I graduated.
See, now that's where my question lies, I suppose, is to write some of the things that you do and, you know, this book ritual. And so, and you're an atheist now. Like, okay, there, because of all the church that I've had and, you know, Baptist, it was definitely fundamental Baptist. There are certain things I can read now, and my soul will scream. It'll be like, no, you can't see that or you can't read that. And I don't know. So, so how do you turn from, you know, how do you go from Baptist to atheist?
It was kind of gradual, I guess. I think my thing is, as you all mentioned, I'm a pretty nice guy, and especially you know, once I got in the military, and I worked in some nonprofits for a while. I worked in a psychiatric hospital working with mentally ill people. A lot of them are indigent and poor and things, and it was a good paying job, and I worked there while I was working my way through college and stuff. And I've always been a very nice guy, and that was kind of always my take on the Christian faith, was that it was about forgiveness and caring for others and caring for the poor. But every single church that I went to was always about just judgment and shame and rules and, you know, condemnation and whatever. One of my early books, I hardly ever mention this, is not in print anymore. Way back during that time, I wrote a book about the Sermon on the Mount. It was a study of the Sermon on the Mount, and I went through and broke down each verse and what Jesus was talking about and what it really meant for us today and stuff. And not a lot of people read it. I mean, ebooks weren't even really a thing at the time. It was back in like 2003 or 2004. You know, I self-published it. I printed off a bunch of copies. I gave it to some people at church, and I sold a few copies online and whatever. But a lot of people didn't like it. And actually, some people in my church called me a false prophet for having written it. So, and the funny thing was, it was all about, not to get all religious here, but it was a lot of people in the church, when they hear the Sermon on the Mount, they do what we call spiritualizing it. They say Jesus isn't talking about how to live now. He's saying that's what heaven's going to be like. I explained in my book, no, he's saying this is how we live now. This is how we should treat each other now. He's saying heaven should be here on earth and would be here on earth if we lived this way. And they didn't like that. They hated it. And I was like, you know, y'all sound like another group of people that that Jesus talked about back in those days too. But, you know, and that's what – so eventually I just – you know, when you go to Bible college and you're there and you start working in churches and helping out in churches and stuff, you kind of see behind the curtain. You know, you see all the sort of mental jujitsu they go through to come up with a lot of their teachings and doctrines to get from point A to point B. And then, you know, once they get even in college, you ask questions and they just kind of twist and turn and, you know, juke and jive and jockey around to try to find a way around it. They preach all this stuff about, you know, helping the poor and, you know, money being the root of all evil. But then you see the school dedicating a building to another new donor and naming the building after him. And kicking kids out because they can't afford their tuition. So, you know, same thing with churches. So, you know, you'd see churches where one person gets run out on a rail because, you know, some single pregnant girl shows up asking for help and they run her out calling her a whore.
Yeah, no, that's very true. Yeah.
But
yeah.
then somebody that's a member of the church that's a wealthy donor, they have an affair and it's a big public scandal, and they're forgiven and treated like a brother in the Lord and stuff because, you know, well, we can't kick them out of the church because then they won't be giving us their money anymore. So,
yeah.
You know, it. So you just kind of...
I can't disagree. You know, being in church as long as I did, I saw the same things. It's very true. I mean, so I feel you. I do. A lot of the same things happen. But, you know, at the same time, you know, I have a very close friend who would say to me, you know, to just pick out in the Bible, like, you know, what did Jesus say? Did Jesus say that? Did God say that? Well, then, you know, don't worry about the rest, you know. And I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there's...
Well,
part of me
I just, you know, and that was the other thing to me. It's always, there's just a lot of cherry picking. What do I agree with? What am I comfortable with? Or what am I uncomfortable with? Well, that's, and you can literally justify anything. I mean, you can justify slavery if you wanted to. And that's in the New Testament where they talk about slavery and how to treat your slaves and things like that. So, I mean, you can literally justify any atrocity that you'd want to come up with. You could find a way to use the Bible to justify it. So I'm just kind of like, you know. How about we just not be dicks to each other? How's that sound?
Yeah. We're all humans. Let's be human to each other. Yeah, but people, aren't. They don't do that.
Yeah.
No.
So, and then, you know, growing up during the 80s was during the Satanic Panic thing, and that was big at our church. They had these guest speakers that would come in. And I was like, you know, 9 or 10 years old, and they'd play these rock music records, and they'd play them backwards. And they'd play it backwards, and it's funny because it would sound like, okay, listen to this backwards very carefully. And you would hear, if you listen closely, you could hear, "Hail Satan, he is Lord." And I'm like, I didn't hear it, but if he says it, I guess it's in there. I'm scared to shit. I mean, they, you know, everything was satanic. You know, all our He-Man toys were satanic. Star Wars was satanic. Rock music was satanic. We couldn't even listen to Christian rock because they said that certain African and Voodoo religions, certain patterns of various drum beats can invoke evil spirits. So even if you're listening to Christian music, you could be accidentally worshiping the devil.
Yes. See, now we were, warned against listening to Christian rock, but it was because, you know, Satan was like the band leader or something in hell or something like that.
Yeah, our youth pastor, he got fired for taking us to a Petra concert.
Oh, I loved Petra when I was younger.
I know, we did too. And that was like a wild time for us, and he took us to a Petra concert, and he was already on the bubble because he got caught mowing his lawn on Sunday. I'm not making this up. This is like real. It was a big scandal that he was mowing his lawn on Sunday. And in Sunday school, I was talking about it, and I said, well, is it considered work? What if he enjoys doing it? Like, my dad likes doing yard work. He'll spend hours on the yard. He'll even mow the neighbor's lawn. And I said, is it work if he enjoys doing it? And he goes, well, that depends. Is it a push mower or a riding mower?
Oh, my God.
I'm like, what?
I think you, obviously, again, you would need to refer back to the Bible regarding
push mower or riding mower. I don't know.
I don't know. I like to think maybe he used a ride. Funny enough, the guy that cuts our lawn, he's Jesus, and he uses a ride on.
I knew.
It's funny
so
because
maybe,
I kind of play on
maybe
that.
Maybe that answers that. Mm-hmm.
In my April Almighty books, there's a scene where these rednecks, they're heavily armed or something in the sky. I can't remember the exact scene. It was been a long time since they wrote it, but I remember this one part where he quotes all these Bible verses after he shoots all these people up or whatever. And this guy goes, you claim to be Christians and you're waving all these guns? And he goes, guns are a God-given right. Jesus H. Christ wrote it himself when he put it in the Constitution.
I like that. And funny enough, I mean, coming from living in Texas, you know, that there are people who have that mindset, and I've met them. I've spoken to these, and it is unbelievable that the way their minds work is just like you said. I mean, you're quite right. You know, they're very good at twisting things around to fit. You know, they're very, very good at that. You know, it's just like that. Creative.
Texas gets kind of, you know, sometimes Texas gets a bum rap because there are a lot of kind of fanatics here. But there's a lot of, I mean, it's such a big state. It's actually a very diverse state, especially like when you get into San Antonio and Austin and Houston and stuff. But there's little parts. We were at a Comic-Con at a small town, And I was worried the show was going to be a terrible show because we're there, and my stepdaughter at the time was like 14 or 15, and she had purple hair and was wearing a Guns N' Roses shirt. And we stopped to eat at a restaurant, and she goes to the bathroom. And when she comes out of the bathroom, this old lady walks up to her, and she goes, "Well, you're going to hell." And we're like, "What?" And so I'm thinking, man, this show is going to suck. This is going to be all these religious people are going to go here. But this is what was funny was I go to that convention. I sold 100 books that weekend, and it's just a tiny little convention. But I found out some of these communities that are so conservative, there's kind of this sort of like nerdy underbelly of people like us that are into horror, and they're into comics, and they're into all this other stuff, and they're always kind of seen as the black sheep of these communities. And so when this Comic-Con popped up, they just flocked to it, and it was just like their haven. So it was really kind of a cool thing that to see in, you know, some of these areas that everybody isn't, you know, I was worried I was going to go to that show and people were just going to scoff at my books. I've been to shows like that before. I got invited to a book fair one year, and they're like, "We don't have any horror authors. We'd love to have a horror author there. Your table's free, all that other stuff. Please come, you know, you're welcome to come out." I was like, "Oh, sure, great." So I come out there, and I'm the only horror author there for sure. They put me across from this lady that wrote Christian romance.
Oh no!
I was next to a lady that wrote these cookbooks. This old lady that writes these cookbooks, and some other lady across from me had this poetry books. And like 30 authors there, and these people are walking around, and you see my horror books. I've got my covers with all these scantily clad women on it. I've got my Dark Exorcist cover with a demon possessed girl on it. I'm wearing a T-shirt with a big skull on it. I had these prop demon skulls that I had sitting on my table as just decoration, whatever. And people were like doing like a big U around my table, like trying to just avoid my table. It was just so funny.
Fantastic.
The Christian romance lady, her husband kept sneaking over when I wasn't looking and moving my demon skull so it wasn't looking at him, he said.
Great.
I mean, it was funny. Even the organizer, she came up to me, she goes, "Well," she goes, "you definitely won the award for scariest table." I met one author. What? Huh?
We are out of time, Tim.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
No, that's fine. We
had so much fun.
Yeah.
We definitely have to get you back on for. I'm saying the whole show next time. We have to have a whole show.
Oh, awesome.
Maybe we can have
Bible
study.
Definitely.
Bible study. We'd have a lot of fun.
Bible study. Yeah, let's do that, shall we?
We have all of your links put up on our Facebook page. So if anybody wants
awesome.
To talk to Tim, they can go there and do that. And thank you so much for coming back on, and I definitely will get you scheduled to come back on again, okay?
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yes, babe, absolute pleasure, Tim. And we'll speak to you again very soon, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank
yep.
you.
Bye-bye.
Well, I'm afraid it is. We are totally out of time. I don't know where the time's gone, but it is that time, Xtina, when we say goodnight, Xtina.
Goodnight, Xtina.
Love is like candy on a shelf. You want to taste and help yourself. The sweetest things are there for you. Help yourself, take a few. That's what I want you to do. We're always told repeatedly the very best in life is free. And if you want to prove it's true, baby, I'm telling you, this is what you should do. Just help yourself to my lips, to my arms. Just say the word and they are yours. Just help yourself to the love in my heart. Your smile has opened up the door. The greatest wealth that exists in the world could never. Just help yourself to my lips, to my arms, and then let's really start to live. All right. Yeah. My heart has love enough for two. More than enough for me and you.
I'm rich with love, a millionaire. I've so much, it's unfair. Why don't you take a share? Just help yourself to my lips, to my arms. Just say the word and they're yours. Just help yourself to the love in my heart. Your smile has opened up the door. My arms, and then let's read.